Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Nelson Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I'm the author of four books. The first one is From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And then secondly, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And then Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities, and also Unlimited Possibilities, which is a PDF format book. And it is available online on my website, so you can log on to www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Hot Topics from the Soul was created to be a lifeline to community. We talk about social issues, relationships, family, finances, and so much more. Tonight I have a special guest, Robert Lemon. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
How are you this evening?
I'm fine, and yourself? I'm so happy to be here tonight.
Yeah, I need a little more volume, please.
Okay, I'm trying to give you a little more volume.
Okay. Robert is a motivational speaking author, and he's an award-winning national speaker and a successful entrepreneur. He has a new book out called Now Is Your Time, with 9 Steps to Reach Your Full Human Potential. I had the privilege and the honor to work with Robert on the Fight for Your Dreams tour, and he is a phenomenal speaker. And one of the things, one of my pet peeves is time. I tell you, Robert, it is very irritating when you're supposed to be somewhere and you're expecting people, and then they show up when they feel like it. They don't have no reverence for time. You know, they think that when they show up, things will happen when they show up, so they want to come into the room and be the life of the party with all eyes on me. But God has an order as it relates to time. And that's why I'm so happy that you have this book, Now Is Your Time. And I was reading it on the plane when I was traveling, I think it was to the Detroit Fight for Your Dreams tour. And it was very enlightening, and it's like we're kindred spirits. It's like I wrote the book myself. So share with me how you came up with the concept of writing this book and what prompted you to write Now Is Your Time. Okay, I think I lost you, Robert. I did lose him. But he has a book, his book, Now Is Your Time. He has strategic steps in it, you know, the power of action, the unbelievable goals that you can reach if you stay focused and okay, he's trying to key into me again. If you stay focused on what your purpose and your goals are in life, you know, you'll be able to make it to the next level. And making it to the next level, it means that you have to be time sensitive. You can't just show up when you feel like showing up. And even if nobody's there and you have an event or you set a time or a date to do something, make sure that you're on time. Robert, I was asking you earlier before we got dropped, you got disconnected. How did you come up with the concept and writing this book, Now Is Your Time?
What started with me was an idea that I was trying to get through some phases of my life prophetically, and I could not understand why I was basically stuck and I was parked for a long time. And then I thought if I would believe the word, it's a time and a season for everything in our lives, and no one can succeed without having a plan. And by me actually trying to put together a plan, it drove me to actually write my vision, to make it plain, and success for me was just through the process of finding out what I wanted to do, have, and become in life. And that's how the book got started. And I found out the power of now. Now was the time for me to look in my future, for me to see where I am today, and decide where I wanted to end up, and then put the people in my life who could help me do that. So now is the time. It's actually a part of not only the vision that I have for success, but also love to help other people get what they want at the same time that helps me get what I want.
You have some chapters in here that are very, very informative. As I said, I read it when I was on route to Detroit, and it was like I had written a book myself. And one of the poems I read in there that you wrote by Dr. Benjamin Mays, it said, God's Minute. And it says, I have only just minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. That is so powerful.
Yes, and it transformed, it actually transformed my life because I found out that the power of that minute, if I could just take this 60 seconds and dream my dreams and see my vision, and the 60 seconds turns into minutes, and that 60 minutes in an hour, and that hour turns into 24 hours, and a day turns into a week, and so on and so forth. I'm quite sure you can understand where I started, but as I heard that poem, and I know Willie Jolly is very famous for quoting it by Benjamin Mays, it gave me an insight to the minute. Now is the time. And I like to say this is one of the first phrases I use in the book as I open the book. When I wrote Now is Your Time, and it was the last thought that I had before I concluded, it was, if not now, then when? That was the question. If not here, then where? That's another question. If not you, then who? That was the third question. If not me, then we. And that was a statement. Now is the time. If I can't do it, but maybe I can help somebody else do it, then as I'm helping someone else, the time that I'm helping them, it will also be an asset and attribute to me. And that's what the process of this book started. And I began to really look over my life, and I thought in terms of successful people all over the world. And as I shared with you, one of my mentors, Les Brown, and when you all began to work in Miami area, he reawakened the dreams that I had, the vision that I had, and he's greatly responsible for the book. And I approached you many times and said, I have a book in me, and the book was Now is the Time. Because when I begin to think about my dreams and my goals, and I hear so much about motivation, but motivation helps you do what you can do. It doesn't help you do things that you cannot do. As I share with people, if I'm on a plane and you're on a plane to Chicago, we went to Chicago at the last conference, if the plane is about to crash, it wouldn't help anybody to have you or I fly the plane because we're not pilots. We're motivational speakers, but because we're motivational speakers, we cannot fly planes. So it doesn't help us in the area of flying that plane, but it can help us motivate somebody who has basic training in flying planes. Motivation can't help you do things you can't do, but it helps you do everything that you can do better. So I started out with this vision that I had to be author, a professional speaker. I've done a couple of films, documentaries. And the vision that I had was actually putting down on paper what I wanted to do to help the community. So without having that idea, getting around motivation and people who are empowerment, such as yourself and Les and Willie, Zig Ziglar, this gave me an idea that if I could just get down to the things that I want to do, have them become, I'll become successful. So I began to write some of the things that I wanted to do in my lifetime. And I'm going to share with you why time had a lot to do with it. The first 30 years of our lives, as I begin to talk about the principles, we learn. The second 30 years we earn, and the final 30 years we give it all back. So the end result is I have joy knowing that everything that I possess and I gain in life, I'm going to give it back by mentoring, give it back to my family, give it back to my children, give it back as a legacy to the world. So I'd already decided what I wanted to give back, and that was the wisdom that God gave me, and the only way I could do that is to go out and try to impact the community, become a speaker. And the message that I was prepared to speak was that if I can do it, anybody can do it. And if I can take the time of my first 30 years of everything I learned and then apply what I've learned with motivation, I can earn more. And I always hear Les said, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. So I decided I wanted more than $10 an hour. I wanted more than a basic check every other week. I wanted more than just being a member or congregant of a church. I wanted more to do in life. So I decided that I was going to take these steps in. The second 30 years of our life is earning. And the final 30 years, if I could earn, I can always have something to give back. And that was one of the propellers that propelled me and motivated me and kept me on fire to do the things that I'm doing. And I'm quite sure you can identify with that, because there's always something that we can do to motivate other people in life.
You know, one of the topics that the reason why I had you on was because of the fact that this month here I was celebrating men of substance, men of honor, and men that have families that are raising children, because I wanted to nullify what has been said about the male species, that there are no good men around, that men are not doing what they should do for their families, et cetera. And, you know, you came in mind, and then the fact that you have this book, Now Is Your Time. And as we look around and see all the different things that we're facing in our society with jobs being lost, and particularly I want to focus on the head of the household, the man is the head of the household. Can you share or give a motivational tip to inspire them? Because I've said to listeners many occasions that although it's the worst of times, it's the best of times for us, because it is now that we have the ability to tap into our true potential, our goals, and what it is that God has for us. What would you say to a man that's facing adversities now, don't know what next step to take, and the weight of the world is on his shoulder because of him being the head of the whole, all eyes are on him?
Here's one of the things that were key to my life and that changed my life, was that one day I finally realized that not only was I a man, but I had to get involved in a mentorship. And one of the things that I share with especially young men all over the country is that you have to find a person that you desire to be like, or a mentor or leader, that someone that can also help guide you. You can't teach what you don't know or lead where you don't go. And it was just so happened about 5 years ago, and you probably don't remember this, but you all came down to it was a Methodist church, and Les Brown and the motivational speakers, and you had about five of the platinum speakers. And it was one thing that he said that kind of woke me up as a man. He said this quote. He said, "Man was not born to work for a living, but live his making. Living his making, he'll make his living. He'll never have to ever worry about work in his life." And I never been taught about work in life, and living and making. And when I heard that, it brought me to a point where he said, you should do what you love to do so much, you do it for free, do it so well that people be willing to pay you for it. And I was stuck in a job, 9 to 5, and I was being awakened by the thought that what would happen if I would begin to live my making? In other words, if I enjoyed what I love to do, which was speaking in communities and becoming a leader. So I sat down with my wife, and I had a plan. And as I began to have this plan, it was about giving back to young people, mentoring and becoming a leader. And I went into prisons, and I started speaking to captive audience for every one minority that went to college, 100 went to prison. And I'm hearing the statistics. So I said, I want to lead in my community. So I did what I would do for free. I did it actually for 20 years free, not paid. But PAID, PAID, is an acronym for Pay Always Includes Development. So I was being developed, and I began to listen to motivational tapes and working on my self-esteem and confidence, and I would begin to mark the people, like not just men, but Oprah Winfrey. I would take a look at successful men and women, And I said, what made them successful? And that, these are the principles that I came up with. And I started out with vision, the visualization. What kind of vision did I have for myself? I had to go and mark the footsteps of good men. And for my vision, I had to have a 30-year plan, 60-year plan, and a 90-year plan. So I said, my vision is going to be 30 years of my learning, 30 years I'm going to earn, and 30 years I'm going to give it back. So therefore, now I'm finding out that I have a life that's going to be abundant. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to be not only a key, but I'm going to be a distributor. I was actually at a seminar about 2 weeks ago with some men who were being awarded, and this one gentleman, he's about 35 years old. His name was Damon John. Damon said this. He said, most people, when they ask about success, they think of money. But money doesn't buy happiness. Money doesn't, it can get you a house but not a home. Money can get you a hospital bed but can't buy your health. He said money, when you think of success, you don't think of money as a master, because most people, as I know, I was with you in Chicago, Valerie, when there was a young lady named Lynn Richardson, she began to talk about being a very successful mortgage broker, being in charge of companies, and how her life had already went to the pinnacle, but yet she found out that a lot of people cannot control money. So I did not place a value on money, but what Damon John said, don't let money be your master. It says money should be your servant, and here's the key. When you allow money to be put in the right position, in the right mud, grow a money tree, people become wealthy not so they become rich. They become wealthy so that they can be a servant, and God used them as a host and not be broke in poverty as a hostage. Now, this may sound confusing to some people, but I think in money in terms of it being a servant. I need money to do the things that I love to do. I need money to help people that cannot help themselves. I need money to bless people and to bless projects. So, therefore, money doesn't become my master. Now I want money so I can live for my making, in other words, not 9 to 5 on a job. So as a leader, you can't teach what you don't know or lead where you don't go, and I decided that I was going to use my ideas and people and projects to promote my projects so that I can have money to help as a servant. And this is what most people are trying to go out and earn a lot of money. Well, you can earn a lot of money, but people, as Lynn Richardson was saying, she said, rich people try to act like they're poor, and poor people stay broke because they try to act like they're rich.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out that money is not just to be mastered. Money is to be used through us as servants so that it can help other people. So now is the time for most of us to get a vision of ourselves, and that vision is you're going to be a true leader. You got to tell your vision. What's that thing that we watch the Heat beat up on The I believe it was the Oklahoma Thunder 60-inch screen. I mean, we watch it on television. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it television we watched the Heat beat the Thunder?
Yes.
When we watch it, somebody said that the Heat would never beat the Thunder, but somebody spoke the vision. The Heat would be champions. LeBron would be the king. He would get a ring. Somebody spoke the vision. The television is a way to tell your vision. Most people don't speak their vision. Their voices, Les has always said, they've been silenced. So we've got to tell our vision. The vision that we have, it starts with an idea. Most of us, as I begin to hear people like Dennis Kimbrough, that's why motivation is so important. He said most people fail 18 different times before they're 47 years old, don't hit it big until the 18th try, and they're usually 56 years old. So I was 36 when I heard that. So I wasn't afraid to... I wasn't afraid. I said, if they fail 18 different times, most men before their 17th time, they're 47 years old, they fail 17 different ideas, at 18th time at 56 when they hit it big. Well, I was 36. And I decided that I was going to do something about not only my life, but my vision. My vision was driven by my idea. So I began to tell my wife about ideas. I'm going to be a book author. I'm going to speak. I'm going to be a motivational speaker. I'm going to, you know, start an outreach ministry. And then it became very important, as I talk about money and being a servant, you have to get properly educated. And this is one of the things that people have failed to realize. Education is better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. That's why I congratulate you, Dr. Parker. You are now officially Dr. Valerie Parker, and you have your degree. And it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So education is important. But most people think education is getting a degree through college or getting a degree through a high school diploma. Education could be a CD, a tape, a book. Education could be university in a garage. It could be you with a MP player daily feeding your brain. 86% of people, you know, who are now doctors or lawyers, they started out by reading, feeding their brain. And I began to understand that the education was also key for the information. So as this interview goes forward, I knew that if I could get the vision, my idea, if I could get the education, if I could get the information, and I found out the power of association, birds of a feather flock together. So therefore, all the negative people in my life, I began to dismiss. They'd be like, well, I wasn't doing anything, so I decided to call you. I would just hang up the phone. Don't call me if you're not to something. So people who are negative, you know, and I always hear Leslie tells the jokes that some people are so negative, you put them in a dark room, they develop. And it's true. Some people are doom and gloom and agony on me, folks. So I started changing the environment. I started following positive people. And then I found that there was something that was in my life that was now different. There was affirmation. Dr. Parker, there was affirmation. I can do this. I will do this. I can live this. I can have this. And I found out that two loneliest points of a person's life is 5 seconds before the person's about to die and 5 seconds before a person's about to speak is the loneliest time in their lives. And I know you can attest to that. So you have to have affirmation and confidence and know that you can do the things that, you know, you've been born on this earth to do. And this is one of the things that helped me. I set goals. I set goals for myself. Many people that are on the call may not know this, but I was 15 years old in the 12th grade in high school. I was in college at 16 and didn't fall short of graduating from college. I decided I didn't need college to actually be successful. So that's my testimony. And as I continue to pursue my dreams, I was 4 years in the United States Air Force and 32 years of federal government. You know, and I tell people, Valerie, I do have an edge. I've got a daddy that owns the earth, the law, and everything that's in it, the cattle within upon a thousand hills, the hills with the cattle stand. My father owns that. Now, how confident can I be knowing my daddy owns everything? And then I found out that I had a rich uncle named Sam. And I tell you what, my Uncle Sam, he owns airplanes. He owns America. So by me knowing who my father is, my uncle is, I decided I was going to be something. I decided I was no longer going to live beneath my station in life, and I found the power of my goals, and then I decided to take action. And taking action meant there were times when I would have to fly across the country and be in a Les Brown speaker training. There were times where I have to go to a government event and be a presenter or a trainer. There were times I'd have to go speak at a high school. And here's the thing that really was phenomenally mind-blowing in my life. I was doing free speeches, and one day I was discovered by an organization that heard about me in the community that decided that they wanted me to speak to high school students across the country called Barbizon. And here's the gift, now making room. I'm confident. I have goals. I now have association. I was becoming like a race car. And I always tell people this. You are a product of the people that you're associated with. Therefore, if it takes the community, you got to be like a race car. If it takes the church or if it takes your college, if it takes a government agency, whatever endorses you, you have to go forward with the vision and dream, because all of these have been placed in your life because now is your time. After taking action, here's the most simple process that I could ever mention in my life. Success became nothing more than a statistical event, Dr. Parker. And I write it in the book. These steps helped me perform my human potential, helped me improve my human performance. And I'm not trying to be a Dennis Kimbrough, or I'm not trying to be a T.D. Jakes, or I'm not trying to be a Willie Jolly. I'm trying to be the best Robert Lemon I could possibly be. And that's pretty much my story.
Well, those of you that just joined in, I am talking with motivational speaker, entrepreneur, and author Robert Lemon. He has a book out called Now Is Your Time, and we're discussing some of the steps, not all of the steps, because you have to go to his website or email him in order to get the book at robertlemon.org. That's robertlemon.org. Go on his website and please order his book, Now Is Your Time. And Robert, one of the things you said, and you talked about the Miami Heat winning the championship, yeah, go Heat. But, you know, one of the things I was looking at, the perseverance in them being driven, being focused. And as head of the household, whether you're male or female, that's one of the things that we have to do. We have to stay focused. And one of the chapters that you in your book, you talk about hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work. You know, there's a lot of times we're doing things in our own strength, but then you got to put in the work. And that's one of the things a lot of people don't want to do, put in the work, as well as yeah. And putting in the work requires time.
Yes, it does. What I share with most people in my book is I always make mention of the duration of the time that you're going to be living. You want to actually be like a million-dollar racehorse. And I say that because I'm always mentioning the fact that you don't put a million-dollar racehorse in a race expecting to win if he's smoking cigarettes, if he's drinking alcohol, if he's drinking 5 to 25 cups of coffee a day, if he's just having a buffet. You've got to actually compete in life, and actually hard work does beat talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I'd use the analogy of the Heat success, and I told everybody if it's going to go back to Miami, it's going to be 4-0. And they said, why are you so confident? I said, because I'm a person of statistics. There has never been four or five 23-year-olds to ever win a championship in the NBA history over 28 and 29-year-old veterans. It's like putting a college team out on the court with a NBA championship team, and we saw what happened. So I share with people, it came through one of the greatest quotes I heard from the Dalai Lama, and he said this, and I was actually in Chicago, Dr. Parker, with you, and we spoke, and I was watching CNN because I'm always trying to get information. And what people don't realize is that the Dalai Lama quoted man, and he said, what surprises you the most about man? And he said, because man sacrifices his health in order to make money, then he sacrifices his money to recuperate his health. And then he's so anxious about the future that he's never enjoying the present. And as a result, being in the present, he lives as if he's always going to be in the future. I begin to see what the Dalai Lama was actually saying to us, Dr. Park. He says, we live as if we're never going to die, and then we die in life as if we never really live. That's why now is your time is so important.
Yeah, you know, a lot of us do live like, you know, we haven't lived at all. And, you know, it's one of the things that Les always talks about in his presentation is, like, if you're on your deathbed, and then the ghosts of the dreams that you never accomplished and all the things that you said you were going to do, you never did. And the dreams and the ghosts are standing there and say, why didn't you make me manifest? Why didn't you bring this into fruition? And there was no answer. That person could not answer because of the fact that he did not put in the time which required the work to make it manifest.
And here's one of the keys to especially those who are trying to find their purpose in life and their why. I begin to put in the book the duration of your time is very important, but also the donation of your time. What are you going to do with the talents? As you said, when Les made that quote, it changed my life. He says, all of these potential purposes are standing around saying, we are going to go in the grave with you. So now I'm finding that I have to make a donation, and thirdly, what was so important, that I've got to be committed to devotion. And everything that I do now, Dr. Parker, it amazes me that it involves my devotion to humanity. And humanity has a purpose for all of us. Each one of us has to reach one, every generation should empower the next generation. So now is my time to speak to a generation about purpose. And I begin to dissect time, and I thought, if I could just explain time chronologically, calendar time, if I could just explain time, kairos, which is a prophetic set fullness of time and appointed time, if I could just explain time, eschatological, which is an end time, I could share with you, Dr. Parker, that everything in life comes together. It is coming together now for the purpose of not only now faith, but the word knowledge is connected to now. In other words, now, N-O-W, if you take the now, the things you want now, and you use the word knowledge, K-N-O-W means you know now, and you have to use the ledge to write it down. What are the things that you know now that make you better each and every day in each and every way? And I was just listening to an old clip of Les, and this thing stood out for me so powerful. He quoted A.L. Williams. He says, do all you can do, and all you can do is all you can do. He says, and after doing all you can do, make sure that you do all you can do. Most people are not doing all they could do today to affect their life in a lifetime of tomorrow. So do all you can do, and that all you can do. If you do all you can do, make sure you've done all you can do, and it'll forever change your life. Now is the time.
There's also a poem you have in your book regarding It Couldn't Be Done with Edward
Yes,
Deck.
By
why did you select
yeah, Edward,
that?
Yes. And that one, I dedicated that poem to our president, Barack Obama, when it was always said that it will never be a black president. And I think about him in that poem, and I quote it every time I'm around young people. And it goes, somebody said it couldn't be done, but Barack with a chuckle replied that maybe it wouldn't, but he would be one that wouldn't say so till he tried. So with a bit of a grin, a smirk on his chin, on his face, if he worried he hit it, Barack started to sing as he tackled the thing they said could not be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, Barack, you'll never do that. No other black man has ever done it. Barack took off his hat and he took off his coat, and the first thing we know, he begun it. With a bit of a grin, a smirk on his chin, without any doubting or quitting, Barack started to sing as he tackled the thing they said could not be done. I remind people each and every day, you are in the right place. This is the right time. Yes, Dr. Parker, we will and we can do it. Man, I'm fired up tonight.
Yes, indeedy. And, you know, since we're on there talking about the election and our beloved president here, I'm going to deviate a little bit and talk about, well, you know, the fact that, you know, how important it is for us to go out and vote, how we need to put our time in. I get so tired. It's another one of my pet peeves, and I keep talking about it. I know people get tired of me talking about it, but we have got to do something. We sit around and complain and murmur and talk about what's not being done, but yet we're not doing enough. Everybody can do something. And then those that are sitting at the polls saying, well, I don't like any one of the individuals that are running. You know, I don't like Romney. I don't like President Obama. You know, neither one of them are going to do anything. Neither one of them are going to help me. But the thing is, we've got to help ourselves, because if we do nothing, someone ultimately will win, and it will be the worser of the evils. So we must get out and vote. We must put our time in, because it does not just affect, you know, you. It affects your children and your children's children. What we do today will affect our tomorrows. So get out and vote. Robert, you're the head of your household. Do you relay that to your family? Because for me in my house, that's what I talk about. I encourage and motivate my children, go to the polls, go and vote, put your time in. Because, you know, it's a tragedy to work and struggle for something, and then at the end of the day you wind up with nothing because of the people we put in office.
Well, one of the things that I think was very interesting over the last 12 years of the White House is that for about 8 years, we had an atrocity in our country for the first time You heard about Florida and Texas and the country being a part of what was called a recall vote. Well, in order to get people to understand the whole concept of it, and I share this, and this is on record by me saying this, and I'm going to say it loud so that everybody can hear me. For 8 years, we had someone in the White House. We had a White House resident for 4 years. We didn't have a president because the first 4 years, I think the vote, for whatever reason, it was recalled, and they sent it to Congress, and Congress decided who was going to be president. So we didn't have a president that was elected by the people. We had a president that was selected by Congress. And another thing that we found out, that this is something that is being probably scrutinized over the history of the election. It affected one of the greatest, I'm talking about recessions or economic times that we've had in years, is because we didn't have probably the right type of leadership looking out for the people. So I think that it would be on all of our best hindsight to say that at least if we make our vote, they say the vote doesn't count. It does count. We want to make sure that we don't have a select president. We want to have one that's elected. And we don't want to have a White House resident. We want to have president. So you have to vote in order for there to be a proper election. And if there's an election, then Obama was voted president. I think that the president I'm talking about for 4 years, President Bush, was actually a resident because he wasn't elected by the people. He was selected going to a recall. So that brings us to mind that our votes do count, and we want to put our best effort forward. And here's the key to not only the part of the book I wrote about, elections are part of relationships and partnerships. What we have is a country who are now saying that there is no money, there is no jobs, and basically saying that we're not going to be sponsoring or underwriting people who are not employed. So I'm encouraging that you vote for the right candidate, that you vote for the right president, but also that you also have to be held accountable and responsible as an entrepreneur. You better go out and figure out a way to do the best that you can do, and Isaiah Williams said, and make sure you do all that you can do, because the government is no longer underwriting health care, it's not underwriting job fairs, it's no longer underwriting, even with the worst time in our history of home foreclosures. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking that we got to be held accountable and see what's the best candidate for us. And I'm not going to tell someone who to vote for, whether it be independent, Democrat, or Republican, but I want to share with them that it's very important that, you know, you make your voice be heard. And yeah. Now is the time that we have a black president who has done phenomenal things in office, and I'm believing that he will be reelected, and not selected, but he will be reelected, and he's not the president, I mean a resident, he is the president. So we have to respect the fact that he's doing the job that he's doing, and I share with people that we're not always happy with results, but we do have to make our vote count.
And also, he, President Obama, although he is our first black president, he is not a president for the black people. He is a president for all people, which hasn't been the criteria in years. It has never been a focus of all the people. Robert, enlighten us on timekeepers and time wasters.
Yeah. Well, most the principle that I teach on timekeepers and time wasters is that people who don't know what they do want to do have or become, and that's why every Monday I'm on the calls, on the calls that you have, and on the hot topics I share with people all over the country, is because if you don't know what you want, if you don't know where you want to go and the things that you want to do, how can people help you? A man that doesn't know where he's going, you don't have to give him any sense of direction, because if he doesn't know where he's going, you can't help him. So I find out that a timekeeper will be very, very conscious of his time. And as a family man, I always tell people this every single day in every way. I always know where my kids are. I know even what time I take advantage of every time concept. I know where my kids are. I know what time I'm supposed to be in study or an appointment, because that is very important. You always want to be conscious of the time, because time wastes. And, you know, it's always in community where you find people under the tree sharing a six-pack or people standing on a corner doing anything. These are the people that I call time wasters. And if you're not conscious of time, time doesn't wait for anyone. And I know, Dr. Parker, you know, life is like a taxi cab. The meter's running, you know, regardless of whether you're moving with it or not. So I always tell people, always be conscious of the time and the time. If it is now, you know, if you desire to go back to college and get a degree, go back and get a degree. You could be 65 and 75 years old. Do the things that, because you wasted a lifetime saying somebody told you never do it. So don't waste any time. Make up your mind. And these things will happen, and your vision will become clear when you know what you want to do, have it become. So those are things that I share in the areas of time wasters. There's a lot of time wasters. And I'm conscious of them each and every day, because those opportunities that they missed. And I always have this story I tell about 1 year I was going to see my son play, and we were setting the alarm, and the alarm was actually set to get us up at 6 in the morning. And we woke up the next morning, it's like 7 o'clock, and we missed our plane. And it was very, it's a tragedy, and it's a tragedy in most of our lives that opportunity it slips by us. And here's an example that I could have wasted time saying I missed my plane. Oh, my. Oh, me. I could have wasted my time saying I won't get back to my destination. I could have wasted my time saying they fired me. My mother didn't love me. I could have wasted my time saying, well, I'm not light enough or I'm not bright enough. I could have wasted my time. But let me share with you what happened. And it was phenomenal and very powerful. And I use this as a precept of success. I investigated why we woke up late that morning and we missed our flight from Syracuse back to Miami. It was a flash on the alarm clock, and the alarm clock was flashing, and I saw 4:55 flashing on the clock. Do you know what that meant to me, Dr. Parker?
What was that?
That the alarm clock was set. I was supposed to get up at 6, be to the airport, catch my plane at 7. But the clock didn't go off because 4:55 was when the power went out. Can you identify with my response? The power went out, Dr. Parker. And so it reminded me that that was the reason why the alarm didn't go off and I could not catch my plane. Do you know as a result what happened? I had to get some time back.
Wow.
I had to make some time to get to the airport, because I assure you that there's another plane that was going to be leaving, and if I was going to get to my destination. Time wasters are saying, where is me?
Where is my?
Are you hearing what I'm saying? They're saying, oh, I was a battered spouse. Here's your story. You're very successful. You didn't waste any time trying to complain and groan about some things that happened. You made up some time and had done very well for yourself. And these are the things that we're talking about. You got to not only be a timekeeper, you've got to step up not only to your responsibility but accountability. And I'm going to assure you that there's another plane that's coming in. You want to know what I saw when I got to the airport? I saw cabs letting people out. I saw reservations being booked. I saw people who were cleaning the bathrooms. I saw people who were boarding the next plane. Do you know why? Because there's always another plane getting ready to take off. And if you remember that in life, you will always have time to make up for the things that you've lost. It's up to you what you do with it. You can waste time complaining about, I don't have a degree, my mother didn't love me, I'm the black sheep. Or you can gain some time by saying, in spite of where I am, I got to get where I got to go.
Because
I heard, let's say years ago, you got to get unstuck and unparked. Drive on the side of the median if you have to. Drive backwards. Get off at the next strip. Go around the accident. You got to do whatever it takes to get where you need to go.
Absolutely. So many stay parked in life, just at the side of the road with the engine running, waiting for somebody to push or told them
time.
Into where they need to be at in life, but it's up to you. It's up. It is our time right now. I'm going to open up the lines for those individuals that have questions and comments for Robert Lemon, motivational speaker, author, and he's a successful life coach. Robert, before I open the lines, is there any remarks that you want to give, or you have any events coming up that you're doing that you want to share?
Well, I have, I'm excited about this upcoming year. I'm working on a personal empowerment television program, which we are working on a studio down in the Fine Arts Village in Fort Lauderdale. And I will be, tomorrow, I will be, those of you in South Florida, with the mayor of Hollandale at Konanaya Worship Center. I'll be actually speaking with him tomorrow. And next week I'll be at TBN for a local Joy show that they're doing. They're excited about the last show that I did. They want me to talk about finance, and they want to talk about money and the economy. So I'll be, that's some upcoming events I'm excited about, as well as the Fight for Your Dream tour with Dr.
Absolutely.
Parker. We've been taking it to the next level, and I'm excited about that as well.
Absolutely. And those of you that are listening here in Dade, Broward, or Palm Beach County, I will be at Delaville Park on Saturday, June 30th, at the second annual prayer breakfast with Agape Benevolent Missions Ministry, where Dr. Lavinia Allen is doing a fundraiser there. So those of you that are listening, come join me for breakfast. You can find out more information about that by emailing me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com. Or you can call 954-232-6362 for further information and get tickets. It's very affordable. Tickets are only $20. And Dr. Allen is doing a phenomenal job there with her missions ministry. And you know, as Soul of a Woman, we're doing our back to school drive. It's coming up in August. So there's a lot of things going on in the community. And those of you that are listening, as I said, if you want further information on how you can stay connected with me and events that I will be attending, and also the Fight for Your Dreams tour, the next one we'll be doing will be in Houston with the Texas Woman Empowerment Foundation with Dr. Deva Daltrey. That is going to be August 22nd through the 24th in Houston, Texas. I'm going to open up the lines. I have a caller ending in 2440. You're live. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, actually, I'd like to congratulate Robert. My name is Willie Wilson.
I can hardly hear you, sir. Please come off the speaker. I can't hear you.
Can you hear now? Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes,
yeah,
I can hear you now.
Calling him up. Okay, I grew up with Robert, and I called to congratulate him. We grew up in the same neighborhood. The last time I saw him, we were at Homestead Air Force Base, almost 30 years to the day. And I read him, want to congratulate him, and thank him for all he do. The piece that he was talking about the timeline and managing your time is critical. I remember my fourth grade teacher, he used to, when he found us wasting time, he used to have us to open up the dictionary and write the entire definition for time. And what it did was, at that time, what we didn't realize, it created that focus on how to go about managing your time, which, I mean, it's one of the most critical things, I mean, because that second hand never stops ticking, and we can't go back and recover the time. So, Robert, my name is Woody Wilson. If you can recall, the Homestead years. Doing very well, my brother. Doing very well. I've been trying to make some arrangements. I'm the VP of Local Union 769 in Miami. We got about 8,800 members, political involved. And if you need me to reach out or do anything to get involved, my time is limited, but I guarantee you, I'll make some time. Make some time for you. And I appreciate all you do.
All right. Thanks a lot, Woody.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night, bro.
You got it. Okay, I have a caller 8593. You're live on the air.
Yes, this is Nelson. How you doing?
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Yes.
Hello? Hey, how you doing, Robert Lemon? This is James. This is James Nelson.
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Nelson?
Yeah, I'm doing good, sir. I'm just glad to say that you are my mentor. And, you know, talk don't cook rice, man. And you definitely take time out and pour into an individual. And you definitely have stretched my mind and everything in every area. When the first time I met you in the barbershop, you just, you know, you cough, and you don't leave me. And I just appreciate you just, everything that you said, you have took me in like a son. And I just thank you for that. I commend you for it. And the best is yet to come in my life because of you. And it's very important to have a mentor. I just believe that you should have the right mentor, not just a mentor, and a mentor who takes the time out and they feel your pain, they suffer, they labor with you, and you have definitely done that, and I appreciate you. Want to tell everybody, whoever lives, he is so much real about it. He got compassion, and he cares for you. And he has me right now just stretched out certain things that I'm doing along with my art. I gave up. I lost everything in the fire in Georgia, and I came down to Miami, made a shift. And I just decided, he told me, he said, produce your art. Do what you need to do, you know.
This young man is an artist. He can paint. And I tell you, every time I'm out and about, I've always, Dr. Parker, I introduce him as an artist. And, I mean, he's phenomenal. I think that someday you'll see some of his talents. I mean, phenomenal. And he's also going to be a motivational speaker. So you keep doing what you're doing and just stay around people who are on fire, and you'll be successful.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm telling you, one of the things I love about guests that I have is them being the message that they bring, and they're truly transcending and going into next levels and stuff. I have another caller, 7001, you're live.
Good evening. This is Shirley. Robert Lennon. I love your whole concept. I love that you are the message that you bring. And I have to say that I went to your site, and the 5 tips for better time management, I'm going to print that out and frame that. It is awesome.
Okay.
I thank you for that. Thank you so much.
And also, if you go to my email, you sign up for the email, I'll give you a free special report. I'm out in corporations teaching them time management. You'll get a free colorful special report, and you'll have that in a matter of a half hour if you just sign up for the email. For anyone that signs up tonight who's on this call for Dr. Parker, it's free. So you sign up in the email box, and we'll have it to you within 24 hours. God bless.
Thank you. I just did.
Thank you.
Thank you. 2230, you're live.
Hello, Dr. Parker, and how are you doing there, Robert?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. I got a lot out of this call. I mean, a lot out of this call. You know, I couldn't help but to think earlier in the call when you all were talking about being the head of your family and all. As I'm constantly having that struggle after 25 years, still having that struggle trying to be the head of my household, but I think I get it now. And Dr. Parker, you know my wife.
Yeah.
You know, she's a real tough one, but it's a fact that I had a conversation with her, and I was trying to point out from her Bible, as I'm a Muslim, and I was trying to point out to her that according to her Bible, that I'm supposed to be the head of the family. And I let her know I'm the one to make all the major decisions, and I'll let her make all the minor decisions. It's just that after 25 years, nothing major has come up yet. So I'm not sure what my position is, but I'm trying. I'm trying real hard. And, you know, being the example for other young men is what I try to do. It is not easy, because I lived the life of a hypocrite many times. You know, so I appreciate all the great information that I gained from this call this evening, and the time management skills and so forth that are just necessary to be able to take the remainder of my years. Robert, I really felt you when you were talking about that first 30 years.
Yes, sir.
Versus
yes,
the
sir.
Last 30 years. And I just made 56 years old, and I probably, whatever I'm going to be doing, I better be about the business of handling the business now, because I don't
exactly
know how much time God has given me to spend on this earth left. And you made me think about that time, and thank you for helping me to check myself. I appreciate it very much, sir.
I'll follow up by saying this. I think you were one, the gentleman in Chicago, am I right? You were in Chicago?
Oh, yes. Yes.
He had to fight for his dream tour. Now I know who I'm talking to. But always remember this, and this is where I earned my key. One step begins your walk. One word begins your sentence. One voice begins hope. One thought begins your vision. And always remember that, because you can only do it one step, one word, one walk, one vision at a time, and you'll be all right. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Love you.
Okay, love you too.
Thank you so much for tuning in and always supporting. We got 2 minutes left in closing remarks, Robert.
Yes, I would like to thank everyone for tuning in, and also for Dr. Park, I want to say to you, you taking me from a free speaker to a paid speaker and taught me not only how to be a good speaker, but the personality that it takes being around Les, and Les saying, you know, I'm not laughing because I'm being silly. I'm laughing because people are paying me to speak. So I thank you for that, and my life is now turning around because of Dr. Parker's value. I was with her in Abaco, Chicago. We've been doing the tour here. And I want to share with people, you know, get with people that are going places. You'll end up being successful. And now I want to become not just the hunter. I want to be hunted. So those of you that are on the call, if you need someone to come in and be a professional speaker, trainer, or life coach, you know my website. And also, Dr. Valerie, I want to say you have been a blessing and an inspiration. And it's about time. I'm like LeBron. It's about time I've gotten on your show.
Well, you know, it wasn't my fault, Robert.
Sorry.
You have a very hectic schedule. I couldn't pin you down. But thank God I was able to get you. So I do salute you and all the work that you're doing. And you know, your beautiful wife and your family. You know, like I said, I love individuals that are the message that they bring. They're not just, you know, playing and living a sitcom. They're actually doing the work, putting in the work and putting in the time. And I want to thank all the guests for joining me tonight and all those that gave comments. And thank you so much for being my co-host tonight. I'm here because you're here. And I wanted to close by saying visit my website fromthesoulofawoman.com and also arisebyvnp.com, which is my corporate website. If you're interested in any speakers, you can go to that website or just simply email me at soultopics@gmail.com, soultopics@gmail.com. And closing quote, Walt Disney said, the way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. Thank you so much, and don't forget to order Robert's book. Now is your time.
Thank you for
having me. Go to his website, www.robertlemon.org. And if you missed that, replay the show. Go to blogtalkradio.com/soultopics, and you can download it and email it to a friend so that they can be encouraged and motivated to get it moving. Good night, and thank you. Have a powerful week.
Good night.